This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Typically, when we're off to a convention, you hear that we are in the airport waiting on my magic carpet. Well, and also having a donut from Dunkin' Donuts. A little bit different today. We are going to the Texas Association of Magicians. I believe this is the 77th annual convention, and it's going to be in Fort Worth, Texas. Bronson Chadwick is the president, and it's going to be a nice weekend from the standpoint that I don't think we're planning on having any rain or excessive heat or anything. So it should be a nice time to visit among friends while we are there. And as I said, we're not in the airport, so where is Scotty today? Well, it is Friday morning. It is Friday morning on September the 2nd, which is the first day of activities. And going to miss a couple of things that are going on this afternoon. I'm not sure what all is on the schedule, but I believe that Cummings is going to be the first one. He's going to be doing Juggling 101, teaching that at noon today. And it's almost 11 o'clock now, and I'm still a ways away. I'm a few hours away from Fort Worth. And I'm not traveling by myself, but I'm traveling with a person who is a dealer, or will be a dealer, at the TAOM this year. And I know that you have heard her here before and many other places. If you've attended many conventions, you've seen her as a dealer or perhaps on stage as an assistant. Please welcome Harriet. Harriet Jacobson. Hey, Harriet.
Hey, Scott. What fun.
Yes, indeed. We're
going to
have some fun.
How much longer do we have in the car?
Okay, kids. Settle down there. We'll be there eventually. Every 15 minutes. We're almost there. Are we almost there? I think she's referring to the bathroom. Are we almost there to the bathroom? So, we are on our way to Fort Worth. You have been a dealer in the past for a few times, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Once before.
Just once?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think of where it was. Where you have the water,
San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say water, I mean, there's not a lot of water a lot of places, so yeah, that narrows it down.
I figured it was a good hint.
Now, she is with BJW Jewelers, and B being for Blackstone, J for Jacobson, and W for Wilmarth, and Robbie Wilmarth, who has passed, was one of their partners. And Gay was supposed to be here, and she was also to be a featured performer and speaker on Saturday, I believe, but
yes.
Unfortunately, she's going to be here, I guess, via video, but she's not going to be here as a dealer to sit by you this time.
Right, and we miss her terribly, and she sends loves and hugs to everybody. She really wanted to be here.
Wish she was here, and wish you guys were here then as well. I will soon be, once we arrive, be talking with some of the organizers and find out about what their registration is looking like. They were capping that at 250 this year in order to try to keep it somewhat intimate as opposed to previous years. And typically the TAOM has been one of the higher attended regional conventions, meaning, when I was president in 2000, 22 years ago, that was the last time we had over 1,000 registrants. We had about 1,100 people that year. And again, back then, we not just rivaled, but we exceeded the registrations of the IBM and the SAM. But all conventions are pretty much down compared to the numbers they used to be for a variety of reasons, which we won't get into here today. But again, they were capping this at 250, and I think the way that things are looking, they may be closer to 200, because I know they still got registrations available. So if you're listening to this, you might want to consider coming on Sunday and Monday. We have still a full day of activity on Sunday. This convention report is going to be combined with Saturday, so it'll be really a day and a half, if you will. It'll be a full day on Saturday and the half day of stuff that's happening here today. So it'll be a combined convention report that you'll be hearing. And likewise, I will then be giving another report that'll be combined Sunday and Monday, because Monday will just be a half day then as well, and I'll release that sometime later on Monday. So anyhow, one last thing. You're looking forward to this convention, are you?
Oh, I can't wait to see all our friends and learn a little bit about magic, a little more magic, and have they told you, new adventures.
Have they told you about how many dealers are expected?
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm just curious if they're...
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, we'll find out once we get there. And we're just still about 2.5-3 hours away, I guess, from here. And so once we arrive, we'll be talking with some other people, and you will be our guests. Even though you may not be registered, you are registered for free when you listen to the Magic Word podcast. So thank you guys very much for listening, and we will see you in Fort Worth. That was Harriet, and this is Scotty out. We have arrived in Fort Worth, and we are now at the Radisson Hotel, and it's the hosting hotel here in Fort Worth, and I'm here with the organizer and president, Mr. Bronson Chadwick. Hello, Bronson. How are you?
I'm well. I'm still ticking. Thank you.
Have you had much sleep yet so far?
Not at all.
And by the next 3 days, when I ask you later, you'll probably still say the same thing, no sleep.
That's correct.
So you were saying, so we just finished our board meeting, and you had made some comment about the process you had gone through and your philosophy on booking acts. I want you, if you can tell me a little bit about what your thoughts were on how you made a selection of which acts that you had selected for this.
So I've been dragged to magic conventions my entire life, and it's not a bad way to spend your vacation time. I love it. And there's a lot of magic acts that I would see in contests or that would just kind of appear at conventions that you've never heard of before, and when the convention's over, you don't hear of them ever again. And I would keep a mental list, in some cases a physical list, of all these wonderful acts that, on the off chance that I ever hosted a convention, I would use that as my reference sheet for the acts I want to pick for my convention. Acts like Jeanette Andrews, who I'm very, very glad that we had come to this convention. I'm looking forward to seeing her show tomorrow night. Sylvain Jusen from Luxembourg. All these... They're not small acts. They're just not known to the magic community. And I won't name any names, but when you go to a magic convention, there are certain names that you're not surprised to see on the bill. And you're happy to see them. There's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to do something that was new.
And that's a way of doing it, certainly, because when I was looking at this as too, there are many names that I was not familiar with, which doesn't mean, as you say, doesn't mean they're a bad act or they're a cheap act. It just means that they're probably an expensive act. In fact, they're someone who's been working, and they're the people who are the real workers. A lot of times that magicians haven't heard of. For an example, if you're out on a cruise ship, a lot of times those guys are working, but they are invisible to people on the land. You know, so similarly, if you're bringing people in who are the real workers, may not be convention acts. I should say acts at convention, typically.
Correct, yes. And a lot of these acts, there was a convention 1 year where Doug Henning was invited to perform. And someone approached Doug and said, why don't you do more conventions? He says, because nobody asked me. And I've run into that same situation over and over again with these acts.
Yeah. And also this year, your intent was to keep this at 250 top registrations. What were your thoughts on that?
Having that exclusive number of magician registrations was very important to us. One, because we went with a smaller property. Two, because it makes a more engaging experience for both the shows and the lectures. It's kind of like the Magic Castle. They could open it to hundreds of people every night and rush people through the experience, but it's a much more friendly and engaging experience when it's limited.
And as far as registrations, are we around 200 or 2.25? I mean, in other words, there are still some registrations left of people who are listening to the podcast saying, hey, I want to come, I'm close enough, I want to run over and register. They can still do that, obviously. But
we are actually running almost right at capacity. We have maybe 3 registrations left.
Oh, so if you're interested, better hurry.
Get on down here, yes.
Another thing I was excited about, and we'll talk to Bob Emery sometime during this weekend, who is the Trophy and Awards Chairman, about the contest. I understand we have a lot of contestants this year.
We have, and it blew me away, we have 19 contestants across all 3 of our contests. TAOM is a little different than most conventions. We have a close-up contest, a stage contest, and then a comedy contest, which happens on stage. We have, without giving away any names, we do have some people that are doing all 3 contests. We have a ton of contest acts, and I'm hoping that ramps up an interest in contests like it was when I was a kid, so that when FISM North America rolls around, we have a very good panel of representation.
Well, I hope so, too, and I'm excited about that because, again, as you said, Bronson, we don't have a lot of registrants who will compete from year to year for whatever reason. I think that, didn't you say last year, there are 2 different schools of thought, either I'm not good enough or I'm too too good?
I was just about to say that. It was two myths. I'm either too professional for a contest, to which, as David Ginn says, baloney. You're never too good to get better, and that's what a contest is for. Some people accuse contests of just a way to get free talent. There are much better ways to get talent for a convention than hosting a contest. But it's an opportunity to elevate the art of magic. Some people think they're not good enough to enter contests. That also doesn't make any sense. A contest is very much a melee type of event, and you never know who's going to show up, and that's the beauty of it. It keeps the convention spontaneous and alive.
And one last question. Is there somebody or some event that you are, it's one of your pet things that you really were looking forward to, and this has come together, or something you're excited about seeing or doing?
Ooh. Well, you know, one of those is a surprise activity. It's happening actually in just a couple of hours.
I guess
by the time this airs, right? Okay, so it's what's called our Friday night mystery mixer, in which case there's going to be an entertainer right there in the lobby entertaining people in ways that they do not expect. But more importantly than that, there's going to be your convention badge, which has three blank circles on it. And three little question mark circles. And on those three circles, you can place three stickers. They look like Boy Scout merit badges, and each has a symbol on it that expresses your potential interests in magic. That could be anything from card magic to manipulation to stage illusions to collecting and history to gospel magic. You name it, you put on your badge the three topics in magic that interest you the most. And that stirs up conversation in the hallways. It shows the TAOM what kind of magic that you like to do to help cater to that audience in the future. It stirs up conversation in the dealer's room, keeps dealers from asking awkward questions like, what kind of magic do you like to do? And so on and so forth. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
That's an exciting and original idea I haven't seen, and it's also a good idea of doing this as an opening mixer on the Friday night, so throughout the weekend when people see those things, say, oh, I didn't know that you'd like doing this, or it's good stimulating conversations, and congratulations and plaudits for that. That's a very original idea. Good job.
Thank you much. I look forward to Stan Allen stealing the idea.
And so we will be chatting towards the end of this as well to see how this all came together, if you're happy with what happened at the end. So, Bronson, thank you very much. Congratulations and good luck for the week.
Thank you so much.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Bronson Chadwick. This is Scotty out. As we start to wrap up the first day of activities, I thought I would speak with a good friend of mine, Greg Lancaster from College Station. Hey there, Greg. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Scott, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. And how have you been enjoying the convention so far?
Well, it's been a good first day. I'll tell you, Kent Cummings started right off with an interesting lesson on juggling, and he got everybody involved. He handed out sheer scarves for everybody, and we were literally doing a teach-in.
Okay, scarf juggling.
Ball juggling. What he has done, Scott, is he has created a comedy routine about with a very basic juggling sequence. Mm-hmm. And he does balls, and he does rubber chickens, and he does scarves. But he had scarves for everybody there to hand out to juggle. Mm-hmm. Everybody got involved, and it really was a blast.
How many people now? That was the first thing to kick off at noon today. So how many, about 20 people or so?
No, I would say a little more than that, maybe 30 to 40.
That's good. That's good. Because I was talking with Bronson a little bit earlier, those who were just heard him speak, and he was saying that there are near 250 registration, and people are starting to come in. And it's typical. Usually people start trickling in on Friday evening. We just had a pretty full show. It looked like about every seat was full. But that's what I thought this afternoon. I missed the lecture this afternoon, the first couple of lectures. That's why I was anxious to find out about how Kent did. It was juggling 101, basically.
It was, but it was an excellent opening event for any convention because mm-hmm. everyone was involved. Everyone had fun. Mm-hmm. So it got us going.
Up and active then also. That's
absolutely
a very good idea. And next then was Harry Allen, I guess, right?
Yeah, Harry got the entire hour to do his lecture.
Mm-hmm. Was it a dealer demo?
It was absolutely a dealer show. Everything Harry's got for sale, his usual funny Harry Allen lines.
Yeah.
And a lot of neat stuff. He did a good bit of minimalism that with electrical components, which was a change for
electrical
Harry.
Electrical components?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You mean electric gadgets. I mean, not like light sockets or things.
Promistics,
okay,
et cetera.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Craig Felicity, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But he had a lot of good material, as usual.
Felicity.
Great. And he's a blast. He's a great way to get the convention going also.
Right, exactly, because he's very funny, and and his favorite dealer. He's been coming to the TOM for decades.
That's why they gave him, I think, the full hour just to do his dealer show for himself. There's another dealer show tomorrow afternoon, and I assume that will be for all the other dealers.
All the others as well. I've not been in the dealer room. Speaking of which, how many people are in there approximately?
Well, most of them aren't here yet. I'd say about half and half.
About a dozen, or how many dealers?
Right now, maybe six.
Okay.
Seven.
So if half of them are here, so we could have a dozen by the time it's
That's
all.
Correct. There'll be another half a dozen or so that'll be here tomorrow.
Well, for about 250 people, that's a pretty good mix of dealers then.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I enjoyed Jeanette Andrews, who right. was the lecturer, the only one I did hear this afternoon. We'll talk then a little bit later about Bronson Chadwick, who just now lectured. But Jeanette, I thought, was very interesting, and hers was all theory. She taught a very basic trick, but then talked about the theory behind why that trick works. But more importantly, it was a theory for her 45-minute talk.
I ended up on her listserv maybe 3 years ago, so I've known who she was. I was looking forward to seeing her. Mm-hmm. She's from New York, born in Chicago, I believe. She was a student of Eugene Berger, mm-hmm. and very much into philosophy, very much into psychology. I talked to her a little bit afterwards about her marketing of a magic act, not in the traditional terms of how most of us would market a magic act. Mm-hmm. She has different types of clients. She was very intriguing, very nice, very polite. But you're right, she did one trick, and she told us up front, this isn't about tricks. Mm-hmm. She taught the simplest trick in the world. I happened to be on stage with her, so I was her assistant. Yeah. And, I'd like to see her again. She's going to be on stage tomorrow night. Can't wait to see her.
And on Sunday morning, I'm going to be doing a live podcast recording with her. So everyone who wants to watch, it's going to be at 9:00 on Sunday a.m. and they will get to be in the audiences to kind of see how the sausage is made, how we do these podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah, that should be great. But
I
want
to hear more about her.
I was excited to see her because I've known who she was for a couple of years. Yeah. She reminds me of a Jen Cramer in Las Vegas.
I thought so as well. That's kind of the first time I had seen her was during that lecture, and I thought, too, she reminded me of Jen. She has that kind of ebullient kind of effervescence of a personality.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. And they even actually look a lot alike.
A little bit, yeah. I can see that then, too. About the same age-ish, I guess, or so.
Right.
So I know also one of the things that she does is works at museums. I guess art museums is one of her specialties. So it's not just corporate shows and things that she's doing.
That is correct. And right off the bat, she calls it Jeanette Andrews Studio. And if you go to her website, and I have, mm-hmm. I've, again, followed her for the last couple of years. She just has a very high-end intellectual approach. I think her client base is. I don't think she's working the types of audiences that most of us would work, whether it be at corporate or family. She just has a very interesting niche. And she when I told her that was my perception of her, she said, thank you for noticing that, because there are not a lot of people that would have picked that up. But that's exactly how I interpreted her to be, and that's kind of who she is.
Right.
Very nice young lady.
Then, again, you said she's going to be in the show then tomorrow night,
right.
But then we had the evening show, and it kicked off then with Harry Allen. We'd talk about him.
Right.
Did a great job of starting the show, and just one-liners, one after the other, machine gun fire.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what Harry does. We've all seen Harry dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and he never fails.
Yeah. I can't remember the names of the next two acts who were there. Do you remember their names at all?
I do not. So we're in the same boat here,
okay.
Scott.
The second act was good. The third one was forgettable. I had low expectations, and they were met.
Okay.
With this show.
Yeah.
Basically, and some people were walking out, and I would say I haven't seen a show that poor in a long time. The closing act that was going on and on.
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting about him. He did several illusions. He had several assistants.
Why was he leaving the stage?
There's the big question, and that's what everyone was saying as we were walking out. Were there AV problems? Were there technical problems? Problems with the assistants? I don't have a clue. He was a talented fella, though. He could sing. He could do magic. It's obvious to me he has tons of experience, but something was going on backstage. And I have no idea why he kept leaving the stage.
Yeah, he kept leaving the stage. And then also, he liked to talk about the assistants. He kept signaling them like he was, come on. As he was singing, he was like signaling, come on,
right,
get out here.
Right. I also think that when his crystal illusion was pushed off stage, I think it hit his Losander table. because his low sander table had been set right in the very place that the big crystal illusion went. Yeah. And I heard a big crashing sound.
Oh, my goodness.
So I hope he didn't lose a low sander table out of it.
Well, low sander's here, so we can get another one.
There you go. There he can glue it back together.
That's right. Not. But I was disappointed then, not just with that, but also, I guess, the trick selections. I mean, I think for a magician's convention like this, that we didn't need a 10-minute presentation of the Professor's Nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. The card routine, I think, was very difficult for us to see nor even follow what was going on.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're doing cards not from the stage, but actually from the floor for the first row of audience.
That's correct.
And there were probably 150, 200 people there tonight.
Yeah.
And I was on the opposite end. I had no idea. As soon as he left the stage, I just lost it completely.
Yeah, the card trick probably should not have been there, that's for sure. That's the one piece my wife said, see, that's that really fit into everything he's doing. I said,
right.
Well, I agree.
Well, there must have been, obviously, as you say, some sort of a problem that was going on with the technical part of that, because the magician who was on before, who was good and been around for a number of years and works at the Gaylord here in the Dallas area, and showed a lot of professionalism, actually, and because they said, hey, you know, stretch it, we need some more. He had plenty of material. Right. He kept going on and on, which led us to believe there was something serious going on backstage there.
Scott, I also have never seen anybody drink so much water on stage.
Oh, my gosh, he went through two bottles of water.
Yeah, two to three. He was sweating hard. Now, he could have a voice problem. He could be sick. I was aware of that, but... He several times he went and got a fresh bottle of water, and he was just constantly drinking water. Now, keep in mind, he is a singing illusionist, and that might have a lot to do with it.
He'd have something to wet his voice, vocal cords, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But he was apologizing for drinking water. But anyhow, yeah, there were so many things that they could have been improved on that. But suffice to say that we got everywhere to go. I mean, up... What am I trying to say?
Nowhere to go but up.
That's kind of what I'm trying to say, I guess, in a polite way. But that's correct. So let's move on. Then Bronson Chadwick finished off the evening over here. I say finished off. There's actually something else coming up here shortly.
Right.
But he had the 9:30 lecture of some tricks that we hadn't seen, some all original ideas of some close-up and stand-up parlor things.
Yeah, I'd seen the lecture before a couple of years ago. I'm not sure where. But they're all original ideas, very clever ideas. Mm-hmm. And he got some good responses with a number of these things.
And they're practical things that anybody can do.
No question about that.
Yeah. He didn't have a lot to sell, either.
That's correct.
And that was something like, again, go back to Jeanette. She had nothing to sell.
Right.
She basically said, if you like my slides, you can here's the website. Go and view them and send me a donation if you want. And that was basically it.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And I guess probably Kent didn't have anything to sell as far as his juggling scarves or anything?
He had juggling scarves. And quite honestly, he had three juggling scarves in a sack and some instructions for $10.
Hmm.
So, I mean, he's effectively selling them for what he probably bought them for all practical purposes.
Right.
And one of the things I realized with his juggling scarves is I believe that Michael Amar's coins through silk that uses that sheer silk, that see-through silk, I think those scarves, the juggling scarves, can be used for Michael Amar's coin trick.
Yeah, because they are very lightweight and sheer.
Absolutely, and I do that routine, and I think a lot of magicians do. So,
it's a great routine.
Yeah, it was a great routine, and again, going back to Kent, he's got a really good idea on simple juggling, how to make it overall entertaining. It was well thought out.
And tonight at 11 o'clock, here we are, and it is 11 o'clock. I guess we're about ready to start whatever, and there's supposed to be something else going on. I'm not sure what that is.
I believe it's not a seance, but it's not mentalism.
This is not the bizarre night, is it?
I think it's bizarre night tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I believe this could be the man that did it last year in Pflugerville in Austin. I'm not for sure, but he said he wanted to come back, and this could be his time slot tonight.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I haven't looked at the program intently to see what all who's going to be here and who's here. But for those of you who are listening, stay tuned, and we will fill this in then later as to what some of the names of the acts were, and we apologize.
Absolutely.
Greg,
thanks, Scott. Good
great
to see you,
my friend. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Greg Lancaster. Scotty out. Well, here we are at the beginning of the first full day of activities. Actually, it's day two of the convention here on the 3rd of September 2022. And I was a little bit unfair, I guess, on last evening's show.
I was saying that it, I had low expectations and it met it. Actually, I guess what I should have said is that I had low expectations and they did not even meet my low expectations of the show. Anyhow, a couple of the people, or rather the names of the people from last night and someone else I overlooked who was really, I thought, one of the highlights in last night as well. First of all, Grant Price was a mentalist who did Banachek's psychokinetic touches and had a couple of variations that were interesting. I thought he had a good presentation and good style, good confidence when he was on stage. Young man doing mentalism, and it went over very well. Actually, as we said, of course, that Harry Allen was the first act up, and there was not an MC per se. It was one of these hostless kinds of shows where one act introduces the next one, and so that's whenever that Harry, doing a great job with his one-liners as an opening act, then had introduced the next act, which was Grant Price, which did a great job, and then he introduced Jeff Martin. And again, Jeff Martin is one of these workers, and you could tell because whenever things got delayed by the last performer, Russell Anderson, that he was able to come on strong and give some other nice material that he had ready in his bag to continue to play into the time that Russell was having some, the beginning of his issues, I guess, from the last evening show. So Jeff did a good job then as well in his performance. And then, as I said, the one who was completely unprepared and had no business on stage then last night, I thought, was Russell Anderson. It was one problem after another that was a train wreck from start to finish. I felt like he was going off stage and leaving. A lot of things that you just heard Greg and I talk about that were very unprofessional, and an act from the local magic club would have been much better that you've probably seen than in the past. So, anyhow, that was, again, I wanted just to correct that a little bit and also give you the names of some of the people, or all the people, who were in the show then last evening. And so now we're getting ready for the breakfast, the Willard breakfast, which the Order of Willard is for those who have 25 years of consecutive service, or I should say membership, or more within the TOM, and we're a growing group of old guys and gals who are coming all the time. So that's where we are then right now. And in fact, right now I've got a couple of people that perhaps I might be able to talk to for just a second. So in fact, then right now I've got a couple of people. There is Carolyn Cummings and then also Eugene Wilkes, both of whom have had a long number of years. Carolyn Cummings, you might recognize the last name. Of course, that's Kent's daughter. Hello.
Hello.
And Eugene.
Hello. How y'all?
And so that's this way that you can differentiate your voices. Yeah, right. So, So Eugene, you just celebrated a birthday yesterday, but also you've been attending for a very long time and come from a history also of great TOM magicians, as does Carolyn.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I've enjoyed my time here at TOM. It'll be 50 years in 2024, so I'm looking forward to that.
Wow. And do you have any great memories or something that was a highlight of some of the past years or someone that you met or something you've learned or, I mean, just something that stands out?
Well, there's a lot of old people that aren't with us anymore that meant a whole lot to me. Of course, that goes without saying, Ralph and Gloria Markham and Nolan Stella Coward. You know, they were the first people that really met me and took me under their wing, so to speak. So.
Mm-hmm. And you used to come with your mom all the time, I guess, from probably you were a kid.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I used to bring mom. Mom was a ventriloquist, and she was in my show.
Can you explain who your mom is?
Explain who my mom...
Tell your mom, the listeners, so they know who your mom is.
Okay, my mom's Joyce Wilkes, and she's an award-winning ventriloquist. She's the only woman that's ever won the best distant voice in ventriloquism at the Ventriloquist Convention in Kentucky. And she's won several awards and everything. Unfortunately, she passed away about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been going through her advertising and all her puppets and everything, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with all that stuff.
Well, got a place for it.
Absolutely. The Fantastic Magic Center will probably love to take it.
Yeah, Kent Cummins has a great place over there that's got a lot of things from magicians, particularly throughout Texas, and so it might be of interest over there. And from a fine heritage then as well as being assistant and helping David Hyron, and as well as your dad and other people.
Absolutely. I have assisted some of the best magicians I think of in the world.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever see Willard? We were at the Willard breakfast. So, Eugene, did you ever see Willard since you've been around for that long?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I saw him just before he passed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that because I love the old tent show magicians, and that's what Willard did. He traveled all over with the tent, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice. I got to talk to him, so it was exciting. But I was a real young man at that time.
that's quite a memory. Well, Carolyn, you weren't even born back then, of course.
Probably not. Although, you know, my dad, I was joking upstairs that my dad had gotten my membership for me when I was about 5. So I'm not really that old.
Right.
I'm actually turning 50 this year in just a few weeks. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Good luck with your celebration of your birthday then as well. And so, what are some of your memories then also of TAOMs? I know coming with your mom and dad then also, but...
We have been coming to conventions for as long as I can remember. It's my mom's birthday weekend also, so we always celebrate her birthday. It's always magic themed. I hope she loves that. And it's just great. We were talking yesterday about how, you know, the magic community is aging. Most of the people that I grew up with, as Eugene said, are no longer with us, and that's a sad sight. So I look forward to seeing a lot of the younger magicians, you know, rising up and being the new greats.
Right. One of the things that tonight I'm looking forward to is the presentation that Trixie Bond's going to be giving about magicians, particularly Texas magicians who have passed.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen it before, I was working with her, helping her when she did that for the Texas Collectors, and it was amazing. And she's going to give that tonight. And we've had someone pass since then, or a couple, so they've been added, unfortunately. And now we have to add Sal Manfredo. That was sad to hear that another fellow who is a past president of the TAOM, as well as a good friend, played Santa Claus, had a pirate and everything. It's sorry to hear his passing.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. Very sad. Very sad.
Yeah. But we're here to, again, celebrate our friendship for over the years, and that is kind of good. You talk about an aging registrant age, I guess, of everybody. So that's true, but that's why we're all here. We have some common experiences. You
know? That's right. So. That's right. It's so great to come back together every year and see everybody and learn what's been going on and see that they're still here. I love that.
That's right.
That's right. I totally agree with that. I come to the TAOM to see my old friends, you know, and everything. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And maybe learn a few new things.
Maybe learn a few things. That's right. Not that I'm necessarily going to do them, but yeah, we're old dogs. We're going to be taught some new tricks.
That's exactly right.
But I've always said it doesn't matter if they book a blue dog. I'm going to come because I want to see you guys. You know, it's a friends. And this has been one of those years in which they've booked blue dogs. You know, so it's not been someone, when I say blue dogs from the standpoint, those who are not as well known. And as you heard earlier on the podcast when Chadwick was talking about that, he had intentionally hired some acts who were not as well known. So this way we might be surprised. And to some degree we have been.
Certainly yesterday's show was a definite surprise.
There we go. Thank you. You're being awful kind. we've already trashed that show twice on this podcast. So
there were a lot of great things in the show.
In the overall show.
In the overall show.
There
were lots of highlights.
Yep, and Grant Price did a good job.
Yes.
And Jeff Price.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was some good twist on old magic, which I kind of enjoyed that, you know, a different way to look at them.
Yes.
You know. There's always something to learn even from bad magic, I think, you know.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What to do and what not to do.
That's right. That's right. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do that. Do I do that? Oh, I hope I don't do that, you know.
But anyhow. I caught myself saying that last night.
Well, there we go. So, listen, it's good to see you guys. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Gene. So, the Magic Word Podcast. That was Eugene Wilkes and Carolyn Cummins. Scotty up. Thank you, Bronson, very much. I appreciate that. Also, Sal Manfredo was a past president of the TAOM as well. Right. Also, that your mom asked me to make an announcement. That I think she said your lights were left on your car or something. And dinner will be at 6. Be home early. No, she said that some car keys were left at the registration desk. So someone who's not going to be able to get to their car, by the way, your keys are no longer at the registration desk, but instead they have been moved over to the main registration at the hotel desk. Well, the reason I'm here is some of you may have remembered from last year, if those of you who were attending the stage contest, that I was the host. And during that time, I was able to introduce each guest and also not just kill time, but fill some of the time with some education. educational and entertaining conversations with some people who would be on the podcast, and that's why we're recording them right now. And these podcasts are put up and posted then each evening, so this way that you get a daily update on what's going to be going on at the convention from day to day, whether you're here or not. But also, it gives me, again, time to talk with a few people to add to this. And so they're kind of like what I call elevator talks, because they're very short. Obviously, we have very little time between acts. We have nine competitors today, and between the first and second one, there's going to be a fairly quick turnaround, so I'm not going to be having the first guest until between the second and third one. But I want to get started then right now by introducing the first contestant today in the comedy category, senior is from Santa Martin, California, Tom Becker. We're going to get started this morning with my first guest, is someone who is should be familiar to many of you. If you ever watch CNN, he has been behind the scenes. If you read The Linking Ring, he has been behind the scenes. He's been in front of the camera then as well. He was the one who was the CEO of CNN Chile, who got that started down there. He's now retired and living in San Antonio. He's from Eagle Pass originally. There's so many more things that I could say about this great man, aside from being a past international president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Please welcome my guest then right now, Rolando Santos. So, Rolando, you've been working with the Linking Ring for a long time, and you're working with Sammy Patrick Smith. Exactly what is your role? I mean, do you write articles with them, or how do you go about trying to figure out what's happening? Or how do you work with Sammy?
Actually, technically, I'm the assistant
editor.
Wow,
I didn't know that was that heavy.
Right.
Made that much noise, so.
Slide of leg.
So my official title is the assistant editor of The Linking Ring, and I've been doing things for The Linking Ring for 25 years or so. And I do a little bit of everything. I'm editing, sometimes I'm copy editing, sometimes I'm writing articles, other times review. I mean, I am the longest tenured reviewer for The Linking Ring at 24
wow.
and a half years.
Okay.
And so I do a little bit of everything, which is kind of fun. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, really.
Thank you very much. Because there isn't a job there, going back to Phil Wilmarth, that I haven't done at some point. Just like my journalism career, it started on the radio in Eagle Pass when I was 15 years old, and there isn't a job in a newsroom that I haven't done except design a website. That's not my thing.
But you've done a little bit of everything else. Yeah. Again, starting, you had gone to Texas A&M in the journalism school.
Right.
Is that right? Yep.
Whoop,
there we go.
Member of the Aggie Band. Whoop!
And so, I sent both my boys there, 7 years each. So they should be doctors. And so, we got a Wells wing there somewhere, I'm sure. So, in doing that, you go back and you actually help journalists as a visiting professor, I guess, from time to time? And
not just journalists and magicians. This morning I gave a talk to the Willard Group about evoking connections, and that is it's an Emmy Award-winning style of writing where you can quickly connect with an audience using six emotions that are just universal.
And what are those six emotions?
So it's anger, fear, sadness, happiness, awe, and hope. If you touch on one of those emotions, not only are you going to connect through magic, it's the way we connect through everything. Whether you realize it or not, you're doing it. And what I'm trying to do when I'm connecting with you is trying to create images in your head that you're going to relate to. You
know, for example.
Okay, so if I were to say to you that there was a fire at an apartment complex here in Fort Worth, 200 people are homeless and two people died, I could say that. That's not a problem. But if
it's
I
news.
Said, that's right. But if I said 5-year-old Trixie and her teddy bear don't have a place to stay tonight, her apartment complex burned down, 200 of her neighbors are homeless and two people died, which of the two are you going to remember? All right? Now, there's even another way of doing it, and that would be saying something like, flames swept through an apartment complex in Fort Worth. 200 people are homeless. Two people died. And the heat was so intense, it melted the aluminum chairs in the community center. Same information, three different ways. Why? Because it's three different audiences. The first simple version would be for an audience first thing in the morning, because they're getting dressed, they're getting ready to go to work, they kind of want to know what's going on, more the weather than the news, but it's important, right? The teddy bear would probably go at noon, because that's where you have the largest female audience, and then the last version would go at 6 and 11. And the point of that is you have to make whatever you do, whether it's magic or journalism or any kind of storytelling or story writing, relevant to your audience by making it a frame of reference for them. What you think and what you believe are actually irrelevant. It's about your audience in order to connect with them.
And I see that we've got a green light. We'll connect some more if you want to hang around for the next segment over here.
My pleasure.
Rolando Santos.
Yep.
Our next performer is in the junior stage from Saginaw, Texas. Please welcome Zoe Kaiser. Zoe Kaiser from Saginaw, Texas. Rolando?
That's a tough act to follow, man.
Hope you brought some candy.
Huge, smart, that's right.
For the, all of us, for the group.
Very, very poised.
I can't say that. Because I'm the host, and
I can't say that. It's all right. My thing.
So,
reviewing all the time. I mean, it just
that's right. It's just natural right. for you. Then, you had mentioned before when you open your speeches and you talk to people, there is a memorized thing, and I think it is phenomenal the way you worked this out over 2 years. Do you mind repeating that to the group over here?
Because
that tells you a lot about you. Then also,
for the last 48 years, I've traveled the world as a journalist. I've been shot at, actually shot at a few times. I've been stalked by a satanic cult, followed by communist spies. I've gone toe-to-toe with gangbangers. And I've also had serial killers and murderers who tell me that I'm at the top of their kill lists if they ever get out of jail. I've interviewed kings and queens, presidents, sports stars, movie stars, and men on the street. I've interviewed everyone from the head of the Church of Satan to Mother Teresa. I've seen some things that have fascinated me, terrified me, and mystified me. And that's what I want to share with you today. A little history, a little mystery, and a little magic.
How about that? Now, that's the way you open a show. That gets attention and provokes an emotion, right?
In 45 seconds.
Right.
So in 45 seconds, you know who I am, you know the name of my company, and I absolutely guarantee you, you're hooked. Something I said will have piqued your interest, and that's all I need. Just pique your interest a little bit, and I can take you the rest of the way.
And so I wanted him to tell us all that then, again, because that's something that we ought to think about in our own presentations, about how that perhaps we can get people interested in what we're about to say, rather than saying, I have these three pieces of rope, and one is long and one short. There needs to be a story or something to invest, the people will be willing to invest their time in the story you're about to tell them. And from what he is saying, that does answer those why questions. Why are you doing this, and why should they spend their time to watch this, right?
Right. So when I try to communicate with you, even if I'm just communicating with you one-on-one, I'm looking for some common ground. We all do it, whether we think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So this kind of communication is called evocative communication, or at least that's what I call it, and that's what I teach my journalism students, CEOs, marketing groups. I've done this for 30 years and won Emmys doing it, along with a lot of other awards. Of course you can, because you're much better at it than I am. Okay, so evocative communication means I'm giving you something that you're going to hold on to, whereas provocative communication is a transitory something that in the moment it's going to wow, but it's probably going to fade away. So if you always try to evoke an emotion rather than provoke an emotion, you're generally going to leave a memory. The other thing is when you evoke an emotion, you can communicate better. Because when you provoke somebody, like in a discussion, just an everyday discussion, whether it's politics or biology or whatever you want to talk about, anytime you provoke something, it's not generally good. It's a one-way street as opposed to a two-way street where you're evoking an emotion.
And before we leave, and we just have limited time with each of the guests that we're going to be speaking with here this morning, this afternoon, this is a fascinating story about how you got involved in magic and the first time you performed. And this is a really great story, you guys.
All right, so I was on air for 16 years, both in radio at WOI in San Antonio, KSL in Salt Lake City, and then in San Francisco, and then I decided to go into management. And I missed being on air, and I got an opportunity by a guy named Ed Thomas, who some of you may know from SAM, who took me to the Magic Castle, and I got to see Johnny Thompson and Pam do the great Tom Zoni act. Yeah, no kidding.
And then I remember their acts, right?
Yeah. And then I got to come behind the scenes and meet them, along with Mark Wilson, who, being from Texas, it was like, wow, right? And if you're in our age group, who was not totally in love with Nani? And still am, by the way, but back then especially, right?
Yeah.
So a few weeks later, I got this the Mark Wilson course in magic signed by Mark and stuff. And my interest wasn't so much performing. It was more studying and history and stuff. So I'm launching my third network in Spain, and I'm having dinner at a place called La Cava, which was literally a cave underground that had terrific steaks. And there was a woman behind me, an elderly woman with her three adult daughters. So she dropped her cane, and being the Aggie and the way I was brought up, I, of course, got up and picked up her cane and gave it to her. And she said, "Do you do magic?" And I said, "No." The reason she said it is I had a Robert Giobbe book in front of me that was written in Spanish in a deck of cards. That's why she asked the question. And I said, "No, no, no, no." She was insistent. So I took the plunge, and I did three effects for her. Now, keep in mind, I'd never performed. And secondly, I'm translating from English into Spanish for her. Okay, now, English is my second language. When I started in school, all I spoke was Spanish. And I think in Spanish, but it's still translating English actions into Spanish. So we got through all of it. Everything worked. I was a happy camper, finished my steak, and I started to walk out of the restaurant. One of her daughters walked up to me and said, "Thank you." And I said, "Oh, no, thank you. I got to perform for someone. It's the first time I'd ever done it." And she says, "No, you don't understand. My mother is dying. This is her favorite restaurant. And now I can remember her laughing and having a good time." So that in that moment, I went from just kind of an interest in magic to deciding I was going to be a magician. And being who I am and the kind of ego from Texas that I have, I called Juan Tamariz, doesn't know me from Adam, and Rafael Benatar, doesn't know me from Adam. I said, "This happened to me. I want to be a magician." And they met with me. Man, when I look, I couldn't even do a double lift, guys. Okay. And they took pity on me, and we had coffee, and Rafael started mentoring me. And that son of a gun, the first thing he teaches me is a Farrell shuffle. Think about this, okay? I can barely do a Riffle shuffle, much less a Farrell shuffle. Years later, I asked them about that. And they had a very interesting comment. They said, "You're right, it was bad." "But it was really clear to us that you were not going to be denied. And so we wanted you to learn from the best, and that's us."
What a story. Wow. Yep. That evokes an emotion, certainly right there, the way you tell the story. It's something that you can tell has been a number of years that you have developed that, and it's a very touching story. Well, listen, we have a green light ready for our next guest.
So
let's give Rolando a big round of applause. Thank you, Rolando. And next, we're going to be having the next segment. We'll have Trixie Bond come and talk with us about a few things. But before that, we did have a person who was up first doing a comedy in the comedy category. And now we're going to have Tom Becker return in the stage category from California, please. Tom Becker. We were at a stage contest here today for the TOM, and I thought it would be kind of interesting not only to talk with my good friend and practically a sister, is Trixie Bond, but also because that she is performing and going to be doing something tonight and tomorrow that you do not want to miss. If we have time, we're going to get to that. But I first of all want to just talk a little bit about when you first entered, because you're a stage contestant winner yourself.
I was. I think I entered the contest in 1968, for the first time, is when I competed. Won. competed again, and 69 didn't win. The Age of Aquarius, and then 1970 and 71, both of those.
Wow.
Yeah, as a junior.
As a junior, that's right. Did you ever compete as a senior?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, you've already won junior.
Yeah,
so. That's right. You've already proven yourself, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
One of the things that she's going to be talking about then this evening is about Texas magicians who have passed from our past. One of whom starts off with Willard the Wizard, and you were on stage with Willard the Wizard, is that right? And your
yes.
Father, go ahead, talk about
yes.
That.
Well, I've been coming to TAOM conventions since before I was born.
How many can say that? How many would want to say that?
My father was a 65-year-old member. 65 years. He belonged to this organization for 65 years.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so I was in utero when I attended my first convention and performed on stage in 1957. Well, assisted, not performed, okay. But assisted someone that was performing here. So over the years, this has been my family growing up. I mean, I had lots of fathers in this organization. And my friends, all my friends are magicians for, you know, most of them, I guess 85%. And I know personal stories about all these magicians, what's happened over the years. And I don't want to give it too away, but...
I'm not going to go too much away, but in fact, we're not even going to talk about that because I see we got the green light. You're going to come back in just a moment.
Okay.
We'll finish the second part so you can think about what you can tell and talk about for tonight. So we'll kind of tease you a little bit and introduce our next guest. And thank you, Trixie, very much. Again, Trixie Bond.
Careful. You're going to have to help
me
get up.
Oh. Help each other get up. There we go.
Okay. Thanks.
There we go.
Yeah, I see
that
those big
steps.
Lines.
So our next... performer in our contestant in stage category from Garland, Texas, is Danny King. From Garland, Texas, Danny King. Trixie? She's coming back up here. Some of you, again, might wonder exactly what we're doing. If you haven't listened to the podcast or don't know what we're talking about, it's the magicwordpodcast.com that you can find, and we have daily updates that we do when I attend magic conventions, and this is my seventh one for this year. Got one more to go later this year, so you can follow my exploits a little bit.
So how many conventions have you done this year? I mean, which name them? I know FISM, IBM,
right.
SAM.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to that one?
I did not go to the SAM, but I was at Magic Live.
Okay.
And, yep. There was one other attendee. There too. To Colin, had us get together.
That.
Yes, you had COVID and didn't go to Colin, so you'd missed that one, unfortunately.
Thank you, Quebec.
That's right. I've attended all these conventions. Thankfully, I've not been infected or haven't done anything. I'm able to hug people and shake hands with thousands of magicians around the world, and so it's thankful that I haven't had that, knock on wood, I guess, so far and everything. But, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of conventions that I've attended, and also just last week I was at the Pose Magic Conference in Baltimore, which was phenomenal, and humbly I received the Blackstone Award there for... Thank you. First time, and it was in recognition of, they said Blackstone had a strong voice, Blackstone Senior from the stage to be able to speak to large audiences, and the fact that I had the podcast that speaks to large audiences around the world.
I'm curious about that Poe. Was
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
What'd you do, sit around and recite poetry?
We didn't. He was a great storyteller, much like Stephen King is then today, right. And he was more macabre, and the same thing like with storytelling, that it just what Rolando was talking about a little bit earlier, the importance of storytelling in order to elicit or evoke emotions, and that was what I was talking about, because it started off with the invocation many years ago in Chicago with Tony Andruzzi, and you're going to be talking about Tony Andruzzi a little bit later, and that has a fascinating history. Do you want to tip any of that at all? Or?
Well... Tony Andruzzi was also known, his real name was Tom Palmer, and he was a Texan married to Gloria Palmer, or Gloria Markham, as many of us know her.
Vampira.
Vampira. And he might or might not have been involved in the JFK assassination.
As far as the conspiracy goes, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to be highlighting the controversy with magicians in the JFK assassination. And I did my speech at the Collectors Conference this past April, and I had a number of people come up and fill in some of the blanks. And this story is growing and growing.
Unfortunately, as people, we talk, well, sorry about JFK.
JFK,
I mean. Yeah, that's right. We just received new information.
Right.
Yeah.
And from Gay Blackstone.
That's right.
So
very fascinating. You'll hear about it tonight.
Yes.
We're not going to go much further because I see we've got the green light going over here. Just be sure that you catch that. What time is that tonight? 9 o'clock? 10 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
And that'll be here in this room, I believe?
Yes. It is a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Oh, you're green.
We hope to have a good monitor so you can be able to see this because the graphics and the videos that we're going to be showing, including some of her.
Over 275 slides in a PowerPoint. But don't worry, it's not boring.
No.
No.
The 3 hours will go by like a minute, you know.
It's got some animation. It moves, so it's just not. Bleep, bleep, bleep. So,
I'll be handling that. I'll be pushing the buttons, and I'll be pushing your buttons, saying, move along. Come on, Trixie.
Okay.
Just like they're telling me then right now then, too. Thank you, Trixie Bond, again. Next, we have another junior stage competitor, and she is from, where is she from? Fort Worth. Oh, here she is. Audrey Perry. From Fort Worth, that was Audrey Perry.
It really is a brand new world.
In talking about not just this convention, but again, like we did with Trixie, being someone who has been in contests and not just in the stage contest, but also in close-up, and one of the perennial competitors we've got with us, one of the performers and competitors not competing this year, Jay Zuga. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys? First of all, Scott, I want to thank you for inviting me up here after talking to the two most intelligent people in the room. Makes me feel good. Okay.
You're from Abilene, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You can tell by your accent.
Yeah.
Now, you've been working with Eli, your dog, for quite a while. Is that right?
Yeah, Eli is actually 10 years old, and we've been doing this.
So you have a lot in common.
Yeah, we're both old-timers.
And you both get in the doghouse from time to time.
And we both have gotten in the doghouse. That is most certainly true. In fact, it's kind of amazing. You guys will get to see Eli tomorrow night. When my wife first brought him home, I didn't even want him. And
she wasn't too sure about you either.
I guess so. Replace one dog for another. That's the way my wife looks at it. I got started in magic, I guess when I was about 11 years old. And I watched the Mark Wilson show. I guess it was called, Alakazam?
Magic Land of Alakazam.
Okay.
There you go. Everybody knows but you.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. Well, I told you I'm not the most intelligent one in the room.
Well, I should be talking to Eli.
Anyway, after the show, if you guys always remembered, he would always show everybody how to make a trick. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I would go through and I would construct that trick. And I spent time practicing it, and I took it to school to show one of my friends, and they said, I saw that last night, you know, on TV. Heck, we only had two stations, you know. So that was one of the stations that they watched. In fact, I got to meet Mark Wilson in person in the year 2000, and I got him to autograph the book. And it was because of him that I got started. And I want you guys to know, my first magic act, I still have one item out of it, the prayer vase, but whenever I was doing my first magic show as 11 years old, I screwed up royally. Everybody was laughing, so I called it comedy magic, you know? So,
where's Fumio? It's the same thing with him.
Yeah. And that's how I got my start. I had to actually read books. To learn magic tricks back then, which was kind of difficult to do. I mean,
From Abilene and all.
Being from Abilene in a small town, that's right. And I've been doing this. I've been working restaurants. I've done trade shows. I'm currently the West Texas Fair and Rodeo Magician in Abilene. I'll be working there for six nights. And I actually, you know the people who really enjoy the magic the most at a fair are people that are waiting in line for a ride. Oh my gosh, they just eat it up. And we'll be doing a couple of shows there at the West Texas Fair on September 11th, which actually happens to be National Grandparents Day. So that's a time to get with your kids. I'll be doing one magic show, like at 3, and then I'll be doing a show with Eli at 7.
Well, there you go. And there we go. Have Jay Zugai. Thank you, Jay, very much. I see we got the green light over there then, too. Thanks very much. Looking forward to seeing your show. Congratulations, and be sure to catch him on September the 11th. It's not going to be another tragedy. I'm sure it'll be a fantastic show. So, sorry. Too soon? So next, speaking of comedy, which that was not, that we have from San Antonio, Greg Youngs. From San Antonio, that was Steve Young. Greg Young, sorry, Greg Young. All right, we're waiting for the stage to be set. Someone got a table, and this guy also is known for his table. Please welcome Lo Sander. Come on over.
Am I sitting next to you?
Going to have a seat right here next to me. That's okay. Right, my friend.
Very convenient.
That's right. So everybody can see us that way. We don't have to take up much time for striking the set or anything. And speaking of a set, one of the reasons I want to talk with you is because you have your own theater now. I was recently in Las Vegas, got to spend the month of June visiting with you and all my friends. And so tell people who haven't had a chance to go to Vegas recently about your where it is and everything.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, my theater is directly on the Strip, 810 South Las Vegas Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Very intimate place because I got the idea many years ago, because whenever you travel like me and you perform on the biggest stage in the world, you see there's always one problem. The real excitement is in the front rows, you know what I mean? So I created a theater which is very intimate, almost like a living room type style situation with nice couches and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so far, we're the only 5-star show in Las Vegas.
Free popcorn and
free
soda.
Free popcorn. <That's right.
laughs> And it's not just you. Luna also has been performing there.
And a couple other magicians every once in a while pop in. But we rotate acts in a little bit, but mainly it's me.
And so it is downtown area, and there's parking on the street and outside areas?
No, there's actually free parking directly behind the building. Mm-hmm. So very
and
easy.
What time is it? Is it two shows in the evening or just one? You have two, don't you?
We
sometimes?
Have like many shows, but not all the time are the shows fully booked. So mm-hmm. we have like a 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10.
And an amazing thing I think about your show is how that it is so original. First of all, you have a lot of original props. He is the master of levitation, as he's been well known. Yes. Universally known, and he is able to present a lot of really, as I said, all original types of things with your chain thumb tie and whatnot, that you also have some of these things that are available for sale at your dealer's room then as well.
Pretty much all of it.
Yeah. You can buy your rack. Is that what you're saying, pretty much?
Yes.
Okay. I do like the intimacy of it, and yet it is a stage show in which that everybody can come up, and I say come up, they can kind of at the in these couches and then also intimate chairs and sit and watch, and so it is just a lot of fun. So where can they get tickets? How can they find out more about that when they're
online? Is the best. You
which
know,
is?
It's like...
What's the website?
The website is LasVegasMagicTheaterShop.com.
Las Vegas Magic Theater, and that's E-R or R-E?
Shop.com.
Very good. And also, we're going to get the green light then already, and you don't want to miss, Lil Sander is going to be giving a lecture then at 1 o'clock. I believe that's going to be in the lecture hall next door where we had last evening with Bronson Chadwick, and we had Jeanette then also. So please give a round of applause again for Dirk Lil Sander. Thank you, Dirk, very much.
Give me as one.
Yep. So thank you very much. So, I just thought that was a little something that some of you may not have known. You know a lot about Dirk or Lil Sander already, but to know a little bit more, there you go. So, we are coming down closer to the end over here. We have then a couple of more, and this is the 8th one. This is under stage, and he is from Waxahachie. Please welcome Aaron Stone. So Lynetta Welch is from Las Vegas, as I mentioned, and also it's interesting that you're such good friends with Lupe, and Lupe is a woodworker, and you are a fabric manipulator.
Yes.
So tell us, what is a fabric manipulator?
I manipulate fabric.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much. That's good night. Drive safe. Okay.
No, I specialize in all things that have to do with fabric and magic. So any tricks or apparatus or anything like that, that's what I focus on.
Like if you have a prop or something, for an example, yeah. in which that it needs to be recovered, or something yeah. that has gotten old, or perhaps if you're a collector and want to brush up something, make it new again?
Make it new again. Or if you have a lot of people come to me who have an idea mm-hmm. for something and they don't know quite how to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so we get together and I can normally figure out exactly how to make.
Well, she's going to be talking. Tomorrow's your lecture?
Yeah, that's tomorrow's right. Tomorrow's my lecture.
Okay, in which she's going to be talking mainly about egg bags. Is that right?
No. Tomorrow, it's my lecture is the history of fabric and magic. Now, some people may go, that's kind of boring. It's not. I promise it's not.
Anything she has to say is not boring.
It's actually really fun. So yeah. Please come tomorrow at 10 a.m. and see my
entertaining
lecture.
Entertaining and educational as well.
Yeah. Everything yeah. And I have a lot of fun things. I even have Johnny Thompson's tailcoat and everything.
And so. His original egg bag?
I do have his original egg bag. Yeah. I even have Martin Lewis's original egg bag. Mm-hmm. I had introduced Martin at a Magic Live one year, and afterwards he said, I want to give you a gift. And you're going to hear this repeated tomorrow. But he gave me this egg bag, and it was the first one his mother ever made for him, and she had gone in her closet and got a scarf out of her closet, and that's what she made the bag.
And the scarf was kind of a tartan plaid.
It's a tartan plaid, yeah, because mm-hmm. this is a Mardo.
Right, the Mardo egg bag, which is different with the slit that's on the
it's
side.
It's in the middle. It's
in the pattern.
Yeah, it's in the pattern, and so in the middle of the bag, it opens up, and half the bag is open.
Right. And the kinds of things that you make, and I have several of the things I'd recommend are Devil's Hank, and I just got the last of the Crown Royal bags, the change bags, because I got a great routine from Christopher Carter, who's going to be on, by the way, next year at the TOM in Houston. But also other kinds of things that you have for sale. What are the couple of things you got just real quick?
I'm going to go to the next my bottle gizmo, which is used for producing a bottle. That's actually not made out of fabric. It's mm-hmm. made out of a wire. I have a ball holder. I had more things. I have a devil tank.
You've been busy making a lot of stuff the last couple of days, you said.
I have been sewing and sewing and sewing. I thought my fingers were going to fall off. And I'll be going back home on Monday and
making more
start
stuff.
Making right. more. I sit and I sew.
So you'll be taking some orders. I will say, by the way, and then we're going to have to go for our last person over here for the last act, but how that you were one of the guest directors or teachers, I guess, last week on David Sandy's Magic Collector's Corner, which is on Facebook, which I would encourage you, if you're interested, to go back and listen into this, in which that we go. It's in your home, I assume, is where that they
yeah,
recorded that?
Yeah, we were
that.
In the living room. Yeah.
Right. And you had taken out all of these. You had Johnny's jacket as well as all these egg bags and talked about the history of the egg bag. Yeah. And how did it start from a slit to then the rounded corner, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite a history, and the bag that I make, there's a history to it, and that's why I call it the Legacy Mellini Egg Bag, because Mellini made it, and people don't know this, but Mellini didn't tell anybody how his bag worked. Even the person who made his bags, he would have them make the bag, mm-hmm. And they literally made a bag. There was no gimmicks or anything to it, and then when Mellini got the bag himself, he would then cut the bocket in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So even the person who made his bags didn't know how the trick worked. But the only person he shared that with was Charlie Miller. And then with Charlie Miller, he and Johnny Thompson got together, and they worked and really perfected.
Created a rounded as opposed to a straight.
The oversized pocket, mm-hmm. The rounded corners, mm-hmm. the size, all of that fabric, all of it.
It's fascinating.
And then Charlie gave that to Johnny, and then Johnny gave it to me.
It's interesting also in talking about the types of fabric that you use as opposed to, let's say, Jeff Hobson's egg bag, which for certain reasons that he uses the stiffer material. But
yeah, I like a drapeability to the fabric. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there that way.
That's how I feel about it. And I also like a single color for a bag. Mm-hmm. Because
did I say Jeff McBride? I meant Jeff Hobson. I don't know.
I think you said Hobson. I like the single color because it doesn't scream that there's a lining mm-hmm. to the bag. Mm-hmm. It just looks like it's you know, a piece, two pieces of fabric
right.
sewn together.
To make a bag.
And so I like the simplicity
right.
of that. And I don't know. I think it's really magical.
Right. What time is your lecture tomorrow afternoon, by the way?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So yeah. be sure and make that, because I will be in the corporate room across in the hall over there. For those of you who might have come in late, I'll be doing an in-depth conversation with Jeanette Williams.
Andrews,
sorry. Jeanette, my mind went blank there for a minute. Jeanette Andrews, and so we would kind of see how the sausage is made, which I'm going to be recording an episode for an upcoming broadcast on the podcast. So you can listen to that, and that'll be in the smaller room, so it won't be able to accommodate everybody. So first come, first serve to listen to that, and then immediately thereafter at 10 o'clock.
Everybody's welcome to my lecture.
That's right. Everybody can come in then to hear her. Unlimited room for my friend. Please give her the round of applause for Leonard Welch.
I don't get anybody out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we are now wrapping up our Sage Contest. Sorry to have made this so long, but I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of some of the conversations we've had here today, then, too. So. Thank you for bearing with me, and I hope you enjoy to continue to listen, and also tell your friends and family and other magicians to listen then as well to themagicwordpodcast.com, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts, quite literally anywhere. And if you don't know how, let me know. I'll be glad to talk to you. Now let's finish with our, which is the best way to finish, with the last performer, and who is a stage contestant from Austin, Texas. Please welcome Bertil Fredstrom. This is again Bertil Fredstrom. Well, as I said, this wraps up our contest, stage contest. This afternoon we'll be having the close-up contest. Be sure to see that, and I believe that'll be in each of the close-up rooms. And also following this, we're going to be having Losander doing his lecture, which will be in the room site across from us behind the wall over there then now. It starts at 1 o'clock. So if you can please exit to your seats, thank you very much, and Scotty out.
Good job.